Welcome to worship from the West Island Peninsulas. Welcome whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever the weather's like there, and whatever time of day you're joining us. Today is the fourth Sunday in Advent. And if we look at our Advent wreath, we already have three candles alight. The candle for hope, the candle for peace, the candle for joy. And today we light the fourth one, the candle for love. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your love, your love so freely given, your love offered every minute of every day, your love given to us to share with others. We pray for all of those throughout the world who do not know of your love, or even know that love exists. May we be bearers of your love to the world. Amen. And our call to worship, words from Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his love endures forever. Let us worship God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, with joy you brought us into being. You created the world and you called it good. And yet we have done so much to quell that goodness. We have fought with one another and failed to live in peace. We have shut out the stranger and disparaged the immigrant. We have ignored the needy and judged the poor. We have fallen short of your command to be your beloved community. Forgive us, merciful God, and bring us back to the joy we find in you. Father God, our parent, ever-loving, all-knowing, abundant in mercy and kindness. Your care of your children is unending, and you treasure each one of us for who we are, whatever our ability or age or background, to whomever we love and wherever we are. You delight in our uniqueness and potential, and we marvel at your unending love and your compassion for our needs, that you stand with us. You hold us, you carry us, you inspire us, and that you hear our prayers and answer them, even in ways we do not realise or expect. Throughout our lives are signposts, symbols and signs pointing ever toward your presence, invitations to come close to you, to rest in your love, and to know the assurance of your ongoing attention. Merciful God, we confess that sometimes we do not see or do not grasp the opportunities to be with you or to know you, to speak to you, that we do not offer help when we can or show your love when we can. Loving God, creator of all that we are, all that we have, all that we could ever want, help us to come together in prayer, to draw close to you in prayer, and to live lives to your glory and the care of a world so in need of your love. Amen.
A reading from the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 to 5. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labour bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 to 55. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfil his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich empty away. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter long ago, heaven cannot hold him, nor sustain. Heaven and earth shall
centuries, the people of Israel and Judah had heard promises through their prophets that God would send someone who would save them from their enemies, that God would remember and fulfill the covenant, the promise made to Abraham, that a Messiah would come and lead them to freedom. Micah was one of these prophets. He was a contemporary of Isaiah, living about 700 years or so before the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. But whereas Isaiah was probably an aristocrat, Micah lived in a small rural village. He was probably one of the common people who knew at first hand the effects of the corruption, oppression, the social injustice that was rife. So many of the rich and powerful only looked after themselves and their own interests. Like the other Old Testament prophets, Micah spoke out about the evils of his day, called people to return to God, and like the Old Testament prophets, he also spoke words of hope, of God's mercy and care for those who turned to him. Micah spoke of a leader who had come from a small village, Bethlehem, a village that was associated with David, and so, by association, a leader from David's line. Micah, a seemingly unimportant, ordinary man from a small village, speaking about another small village. And 700 years later, all these promises made over the centuries were about to be fulfilled through the birth of a small baby to a seemingly unimportant, ordinary young woman. Few people recognize the significance of the baby growing in Mary's womb. Yet another pregnant woman, yet another baby. So what? So ordinary. But Mary and Joseph knew that the baby would be very special. The child had been conceived in a wondrous way, and they had been told by the angel that the child would be the Son of the Most High and would save people from their sins. Elizabeth, a relative, possibly a cousin of Mary, and her husband, Zachariah, also knew that their expected child was very special. Special in that Zachariah had been told by an angel that the child would prepare the way for the Lord. Special in that this would be their first child, longed for so many years, and conceived when Elizabeth was thought to be long past the age for childbearing. Two women, one very young, one much older. Two couples, each knowing the action of God in their lives, both experiencing miraculous pregnancies. Two women with husbands who supported them, who loved them. Joseph, who trusted and willingly accepted the role of earthly father, sometimes called foster father. Zachariah, who could have divorced Elizabeth many years previously, since she was deemed to be barren, but stayed with her. It seems that Mary journeyed to Elizabeth shortly after the Annunciation, when Gabriel told Mary that she would bear God's son. At that time, Elizabeth was 6 months into her own pregnancy. Mary and Elizabeth seem to have been close. Perhaps Mary found in Elizabeth a big sister figure, a confidant, a friend. Was Elizabeth the first person that Mary told about her pregnancy? Immediately they met, Elizabeth felt a reaction from the child she was carrying. The one who was to prepare the way of the Lord recognized the Lord. I can imagine the two women embracing each other in love and joy, each recognizing the momentous situation that would bind them closer still. We are told that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. Two women, both pregnant by God's design, one very young and one much older, both having husbands who supported them, who loved them. It is a story of love. Love of husband and wife, love of family, of the two women, love of parents for their child. And certainly we read of rejoicing, of love of friends, neighbours and other relatives when Elizabeth gives birth to her son. And throughout, we see the love of God. God, whose love for his people continued even when they turned away from him. God, who raised up prophets like Micah to call them back. God, who in the fullness of time sent his own son to take human flesh and to live God's love among us. God, who overshadowed and supported Mary, who supported Joseph, who blessed Elizabeth and Zachariah. God, who loves each one of us as the individual that we are. God, who acts in love when the time is right, who acts to his timetable, not ours,
Centuries passed before the Old Testament prophets' messages about the Messiah were fulfilled. Decades passed before Elizabeth and Zechariah were blessed with a child. Mary, however, became pregnant far earlier than she expected. God's timetable, not ours. But having conceived, Mary, like all expectant mothers, had to wait for months before she saw her child. That God the Son took human flesh is a wonder. That the all-powerful Creator, for love, laid aside his power and glory to become a cell implanted in Mary's womb, there to grow for months. Cells dividing, differentiating into various tissues, tiny limbs developing, head and brain. God the Son gave himself totally into the care of Mary. And not just for the 9 months of pregnancy. For the newborn and the young child is still totally dependent on its parents. All acts of great love, and we can see the response to that love in Mary's and Joseph's willing acceptance of God's will, in Elizabeth's and Zechariah's devotion to God throughout the time of waiting, in Micah's obedience to and dedication to God. God's love for us, our love for God, which includes love for each other, for neighbour. Micah and Mary, seemingly unimportant, ordinary people from small villages. The birth of a small baby to that seemingly unimportant, ordinary young woman in another small village. A baby who would grow up through childhood, teenage years, early manhood, who would earn his living with his hands, live an ordinary human life, and then change the world forever, asking ordinary people, his disciples, to spread the message, the good news of God's love. You and I, ordinary people, celebrating what we hope will be a slightly more ordinary Christmas in a few days' time. How will we show our love for God and neighbour? Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, you are here and everywhere, beyond and beside us, around us and within. You are with us on the dark days as well as on the sunny ones, in this season of hope for some, and in this season of pain for others. In this week, when people everywhere grapple with the impact of disease, hunger and pain, when people flee for their lives, when families continue to be torn apart, and when other families draw close together to celebrate and enjoy, we pray for them all, that they will know your peace, that they will find joy in your presence, and know that true happiness comes not in things, but in our relationships with each other and with you. Help us to be bold to do whatever we can to help and to heal, and to listen as you ask us to be the answer to so many prayers. We pray for your whole church, a people attempting to live in your example and spread your message throughout the world. We pray for the marginal, all those on the edges of our lives, or on the edges of our community, edges of our society, living in fear or in hurt because of where they are or where they come from or who they are, who they love, what they have, what they can do, attempting to live lives in peace and safety. Be with them, hold them and carry them and guide them. And in your wisdom, use us to do whatever we can to bring your love and care to their lives. We pray for ourselves, all of us, as we try to live our lives as best we can. Help us to pray, to not lose heart, to feel your presence in our lives, whether it's in our homes or in our church buildings or in your wondrous creation. Use us and lead us to the glory of your kingdom and the joy of your people. In Jesus' name we pray.
As we reflect on all that we have received and continue to receive from God, let us think about what we can give in his service. Lord, we offer you ourselves, who we are and what we have, that through your Spirit we might share your love with our communities and with the world. Amen. And we draw our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
Adored,
God of hope, who brought hope into the world, may we share that hope with others. God of peace, who brought peace into the world, may we share that peace with others. God of joy, who brought joy into the world, may we share that joy with others. God of love, who brought love into the world, may we share that love with others. God of hope, peace, joy and love, be the rock we stand upon, the arms we rest within, the strength that sends us out, this Advent time and always. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us, with all who we love, and with all God's children, everywhere, this day and forevermore. Amen.